Hello and welcome back. This is the Collaborators Unite podcast. Chuck Anderson here, your host. And this is the show where we serve big impact experts. And that's you if you are on a mission to help people in a positive way, not just make money in your business, but you want to make a positive impact in their lives. And maybe even that ripples out to the lives of people in your community and even people in the world. And whatever your mission is, whatever the size and scope of the impact you want to make is, there's always another level. There's always that place that we're aspiring to. Today, we're not going to talk about another tactic. We're not going to talk about another marketing method, because I think we do talk a lot about those, and there's no shortage of those. But sometimes the impact that we're really making is either it's manifested or limited by the way that we think. And so we're going to talk about limiting beliefs by someone who is an absolute expert at this. So today, my guest is Lion Goodman. And Lion, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Pleasure to be here. Really appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. And I remember our first conversation. I really like what you do. And again, it's not another tactic. It's not another strategy. It's not another method. And from time to time, I think we do need to take a step back and look at how we are showing up, how we're being, how we're thinking, and what are we really bringing to the table? We might want to make a big impact, but really our beliefs say we're just comfortable with a small impact. But still aspiring to the big one. And that's something that I've experienced from time to time throughout my career. So I'm glad to have you here. And I think a great place to start is, tell us your story. How did it come to be that you're doing this work? And, you know, we'll go from there.
Well, I'd like to begin by saying that I was born at a very early age.
Nice.
Yeah, that's
a unique quality.
There. Yeah. Growing up, I was weird. I didn't fit into my family, really. I didn't fit into the kids I was around. I felt like an outsider. I don't belong. It was a key fact in my life, a key belief in my life. And I realized that there must be something wrong with me, because I wasn't like all those other people. And so for some reason, I set out to fix myself, to see if I could figure out how to become normal. And like all those other people. And fortunately, after 50 years of self-development, I never became normal. So that's the good thing. I did become more myself, which I think is a better goal. So during that time, I took more than 100 workshops and trainings trying to figure out, what is the nature of this being here? What is the nature of myself? What's the nature of human nature? What's the nature of other people? How does the mind work? How does consciousness work? What is consciousness? These are the big questions that drove me. It drove me all the way to college, where I got my degree in consciousness studies way back in 1975. So this was actually one of the first degrees granted in that field. And I was studying neuroscience and psychology and philosophy and history, like everything I could get my hands on to understand this question, what is the nature of human nature? So that's what drove me, was the desire to fix myself. And then finally I realized, hey, I'm pretty good. I can share some of this with other people. And that's when I began teaching and sharing what I learned over all those decades of study.
Amazing. I can relate to so many parts of that story. Also, I'm fascinated with human behavior and what motivates us to do what we do. But that feeling of not being normal, I can very much relate to. And also the next level of, well, I need to fix myself so that I can fit into what is expected of me. I bet there's people listening right now in the coaching community that felt that same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's easy to feel that way. First of all, because when you're little, when you're a baby, you're looking around the table and you see other people who are able to walk and talk by themselves and communicate with each other with words, and you can't. So what other conclusion can you come to other than, there's something wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Nobody says, hey, you're a baby. It's okay. You'll grow into it. You know, nobody confirms that you're actually a conscious being that is in the growth process, right? So we can easily come to that conclusion. And these experiential conclusions are actually the beginnings of the belief system. And we can even accumulate these kinds of conclusions in the womb. Like if the mother is afraid because of a violent husband or war or poverty, her fear hormones are going right through the placenta into that baby. And the baby is living in fear and may come to the conclusion the world isn't safe way before words come in. but it's experiential. It's like, okay, there's something to be afraid of here. So we go all the way back in our work to the core experiences that create the limiting beliefs, what we call limiting beliefs, out at the surface level. And we work there at the core of the psyche. That's what makes it so effective.
Amazing. Oh, I can't wait to dive into that a little bit more. And before we do, I want to just think a little bit about, you know, where people start their journey with you. What are you hearing from them? Like, describe their experience. And, you know, are they consciously aware that there's something going on and that's where it stems from? Or is it some other experience? And then we have to kind of shine light and direct them there. But what are they, when they first come to you, what are they saying? What's their experience?
First of all, I'm called the subconscious pattern detective. So people come to me because they know they have a subconscious pattern that they can't figure out. So I tend to draw people who are already aware that they have limitations in their beliefs or in their behavior or in their relationships or in their finances, and they come to me to get that problem solved. So I have a general products for the general public to help people clear their beliefs, but my personal work is coaching individuals. So I coach very high-functioning people, people who are CEOs or solopreneurs. And then I also have a training for coaches, therapists, and healers, which just began, called the Clear Beliefs Method of Trauma-Informed Therapeutic Coaching. It's a mouthful, but it really expresses what that training is. It's a six-month training for professionals who want to learn these techniques that I've developed and synthesized over 50 years.
Amazing. What are the common threads in the experiences when so people come to you, they know that something is going on and that there's some sort of repeating pattern. And, you know, so are there any commonalities or maybe common mistakes that maybe they're making that are kind of leading them to where they're at now? I mean, you're going to work with them, obviously, to get to the other side, but are we making it worse for ourselves? Are there things we're not aware of? Like, what do we need to know?
One of my philosophies is, in an emergency, apply awareness first. When you bring awareness to your own mechanisms, to your own subconscious mind, to your own psychology, to your own how you think about things, that, you know, it's like the miners who have a headlamp on their helmet, you know, and we're turning that headlamp inward to look inside to see what is this structure. Another way we see people is that they're all unique. They each came through the world, their world, with a unique set of circumstances and experiences and traumas and psychological sets. And so we work very closely one-on-one with people. We try not to generalize, oh, you're just like those other people. because each person is unique and has a unique set of beliefs and structures that they've created for themselves. But I'll give you an example of the kind of client that comes to me. So there was a multimillionaire who came to me. And the reason he was a multimillionaire was that he made millions and then he lost millions. Then he made millions, then he lost millions. And he was tired of this pattern. And he tried everything, psychology, psychotherapists, psychiatrists, drugs, psychedelics, healers, coaches. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, you're so smart, Mr. Smart Guy. Tell me why I followed this pattern. And so very quickly, I used one of my techniques, which we call spiraling back, where we spiral back to originating experiences. And he went back to an experience which he didn't remember remembering before, this process, where he was walking on the streets of New York with his mother, hand in hand. He was about 3 years old. He saw a shiny penny on the ground. And he reached down excitedly to pick it up, and his mother jerked him back and said, "Don't touch that, it's dirty." And he suddenly realized that the reason he couldn't hold on to his money is because his mother told him it was dirty and he shouldn't touch it. And that blew apart the belief or the pattern that was totally subconscious for him, in the unconscious, really. He was like, he was not aware of it at all. And he was trying all the outside-in techniques to fix it, but the core material was deep down in the subconscious mind. So, and he didn't have to lose millions after that. That's a typical story of the kind of work I do, where people come to me kind of as a last resort and say, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to change it. You know, help me.
Yeah, I'd imagine, and just speaking from my own experiences, that feeling of, I can't believe this is happening again, right? Or it seems like I've been here before.
Yes.
Or not this again, right?
Exactly. And those have a cause. And that's, again, the way I see the world is that everything we experience has a cause, and that cause is inside of us. And you can work from the outside in with all kinds of techniques. You can tap on your face and say affirmations. You can just do affirmations. You can do talk therapy. You can get your body worked on. You can use psychedelics and throw up if you want. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to kind of excavate this stuff. What I did is I took the 100, 200 tools that I learned and figured out which ones produce real transformation, true transformation that's permanent and profound, not just makes you feel better for a day or two. And that's how I came to this analysis of it's the belief structure, it's the infrastructure of the human mind. And most people, when they talk about beliefs, they think of mental constructs, like I believe there should be more government, or I believe there should be less government. But beliefs are actually multidimensional constructs because they're made of our experience. And our experience is multidimensional. Right now, you're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, you're in an environment, you're energetic, you have relationships. That's your multidimensionality. And so when you come to one of these conclusions, whether someone indoctrinates it into you or you come to it yourself, that's what's stored, is the entire experience. And so in order to excavate it, you need to use experiential techniques, not just mental techniques. So this is not mental belief clearing. There's lots of people who do that, but it doesn't work very well. You get partial or temporary results. This is going deep into the structure of the mind and doing the work there.
So when you say experiential, that you actually have to have some physical interaction with the process. And I think I've read and heard of this before, where if you actually do something, you're more likely to retain it or learn from it or whatever. And I'm probably butchering it here, but no, explain it.
That is true. Psychology is that when you do something, you're more likely to retain it than when you just hear it or see it or feel it. When I talk about the multidimensionality of us, I'm talking about all of us, because we are having all these experiences. That the nervous system is a information superhighway. And if we felt everything that the information was presenting, we'd be overwhelmed. So we have this thing in the brain called the reticular activating formation, which kind of filters for what's important and what's not important. But we have control over our attention. It's one of the few things we do have control over. And so you can attend to any part of your body, for example. You can put your attention on your left knee and feel your left knee. And that information's been there the whole time. And the body is sensing it, but you haven't attended to it. So what we do is we turn our attention inward to the experiences that cause the pattern, not just the idea or the thought is at the root of the pattern. So an experience is something that happened to you, or it didn't happen for you. It could be a trauma, could be, you know, a learning, could be someone telling you something over and over again, and you took it in because you had a relationship with that person. The teacher said, "You're stupid and you'll never amount to anything." And that teacher has a power relationship with you as a kid. And so you take it in and identify with it as that's who you are. Because we tend to believe our elders and our betters, and that's part of the belief system, which is good for survival, but it's bad for self-image.
Well, extremely. And it makes me think, as you say that, is it usually one thing that leads to the pattern, or could it be multiple experiences like that? Like maybe someone was bullied when they were in school, or maybe a teacher did say something like, "You'll never amount to anything." And maybe there was something else that happened with a family member, or like you said, even earlier than that, could be. Is it a web of sort of multiple things that are leading to the beliefs, or is it usually one thing that was kind of the genesis of that particular belief?
The answer is it could happen either way. Some kind of a single traumatic incident, like this guy going for the penny and being jerked back by his mother, that was traumatizing enough. Trauma tends to be deep learning, because the amygdala says, "This is dangerous. Don't do that ever again." Or, you know, "Remember this, because that's going to make your mother mad," or, you know, "You're in danger, so don't do that." So those traumatic experiences tend to be more sticky. The negative experiences we have tend to be more sticky than positive experiences. Over time, from birth to adulthood, we collect tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of beliefs. For example, language is a belief structure. When I say that as a cat, I'm labeling a particular unique animal with a label, and then I don't have to pay attention to it anymore. It's like, oh yeah, it's just a cat. But if I get to know the cat, that's a unique being. And I'm going, "Wow, who are you? Like, that's amazing." And the same is true with people. We label people and then we see them through the labels and we're not looking at them anymore. We're interacting with labels, with our prejudices, with our assumptions, with our beliefs about them, with the categories we put them in. So clearing this process of being able to see clearly and interact with a real human being on the other side of the conversation is a long and involved but doable process. So what we need to do is clear the field, because beliefs act like sunglasses or colored lenses in our front of our eyes. We see through them. And so, you know, sunglasses will let certain frequencies in and keep other frequencies out of light. And the same is true with our beliefs. So if you believe life is hard, everywhere you look, you're going to see the hardness of life. Now, if you could swap that out and see through life is joy, you're going to experience joy. That's just how the system works. So what we're doing with all the people we work with, whether they're coaches or students or therapists or healers, is to clear those old things that are preventing them from moving forward. I'm going to talk for another minute and then give you a chance. There's a really important principle that I teach, and that is that our old beliefs don't disappear when we get new ones. They just get pushed down into the subconscious mind. And they live there in the subconscious, kind of sleeping with one eye open. And they're looking for anything that might contradict the belief. And if something contradicts the belief, they'll jump up and reassert themselves. Say, hey, that's not true. Example, a person wants to lose weight because they're going to a wedding. And so they make a commitment. I'm going to lose 10 pounds before the wedding. And all the old beliefs in there jump up and start reasserting themselves as inner voices or body ticks or body sensations. You got to be kidding. You've never lost 10 pounds in 2 weeks. Forget about it. And hey, remember there's that chocolate cake in the refrigerator because, you know, you got to eat that before you go on a diet. And just give up. You tried this too many times. You keep gaining the weight back for you. You'll never fit into it. All those voices come up. And the stuff that comes up when we make a commitment, our old beliefs being reasserting themselves. And if we knew that, if we knew they were just like old recordings, old tape recordings that were being stimulated, they wouldn't stop us. But most people are stopped or stymied or freeze in their tracks when they're trying to create something new. So that's the pitch.
Yeah. And it's occurred to me as you were saying this, at the surface level, we're talking about, you know, our own beliefs and how that impacts the impact we want to make. And I say we because our audience is made up of coaches and practitioners and speakers and authors and consultants that, you know, want to make a big difference. And it seems to me that the beliefs are, you know, our own experience, but it can affect how we work with our clients as well. In what we see, what we say, how we work with them, regardless of what framework we're using or modality we're using or whatever. But it seems to me that our beliefs can actually flow through the work that we're doing to our client. Maybe I'm going too deep with this, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're absolutely right, because everything is based on this infrastructure of the mind, self-image, our personality, how we respond to other people, how we react to certain things that happen to us, our circumstances, our repeated patterns, our relationships. They all have beliefs at the core. Now, not all beliefs are bad. For example, the belief, look both ways before you cross the street. That's a really good belief, not just for kids, but for adults. Otherwise, if you didn't have that belief, you might get hit by a truck, right? Sort through in ourselves, which are the limiting beliefs that are limiting us from moving forward, limiting our relationships, limiting our effectiveness, limiting our impact, and then clear those. And the positive beliefs will take care of themselves. You know, we don't need to clear all the beliefs. If you do, you get enlightened, but who needs that?
Sounds boring, really.
Very boring. It's very boring. I tried it. I didn't like it.
You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation, you know, about, you know, along this lines of being enlightened. It's kind of like, you know, once you become aware of something, it's difficult to become unaware of something. And, you know, that old term of being blissfully unaware of something, it's like, but do I really have to be aware of all of this?
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like you said earlier, we can't change what we're not aware of, or maybe we can. That's my belief. But I mean, one of the first steps that we talked about is becoming aware that there is something, mm-hmm. that there is a pattern, that there is maybe a belief that is leading to that pattern.
Right. And all you need to do is look at your complaints. Like, what are you complaining about? You have a great life. You know, you're living better than most humans did in the past million years. So what are you complaining about? You know, my relationship, but I'm not getting enough love. All right. Well, that's a valid complaint. Nothing wrong with that. Let's find out what's causing it. It might be in you that you're not accepting the love you're getting. It might be in the other person. It might be in the relationship because the relationship has its own needs. So let's apply it to whatever your issue is. And so when people come to me with all kinds of issues, I'm not making enough money. I'm not popular enough. I can't get leverage on my business. I'm not having the impact I want to have. It's hard to fill seats in my trainings. I'm not getting people to show up. Nobody responds to my email. I mean, some of these are very practical questions that you've had other guests talking about how to become more effective in your email campaigns, for example, or how to fill seats in a training. But the causes that are inside need to be worked on as well. Because when people are limiting themselves, when you say, I should make 10 marketing calls today, but I wonder what's on TV. That's a distraction technique
that
we use to avoid the uncomfortable feelings associated with making a call. Well, what's underneath that uncomfortable feeling? My dad told me not to talk to strangers. Whoa, well, that might prevent you from doing marketing. So there you have an experience. Dad, the authority, tells me not to talk to strangers. And now in marketing, I'm supposed to talk to strangers. How's that working for you? We get stuck in those kinds of conflictual beliefs where you got two beliefs working against each other.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when there's patterns that all of us have that we tend to normalize it. And one that comes up, and I'd love for you to weigh in on this, that comes up a lot, is like, my ADD prevents me from my, and what they really mean is my self-diagnosed ADD, because we talk so much about this. And yes, attention issues are definitely an issue. I don't want to downplay that. But when we label it like that and we normalize it, it's almost like there's no reason to look further or deeper into that. And it's like, well, that's just the way it is. And so I'll go doom scroll on YouTube for a while. So
exactly. And those are fateful last words. That's just the way it is. You know, if that's the way it is and you don't like it, change it. If it's just the way it is, you know, you're not going to change it and you have no motivation to change it because you've accepted it as a flaw in your character or a flaw in your system that you don't want to do anything about. That's okay. Just make a conscious decision. Like, I'm not going to fix this. I'm just going to wallow in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And attention span is a concern. It's now known that attention span has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter with television and now social media and doom scrolling and all the rest. It's like our attention is now equal to about a goldfish. About 4 seconds. Goldfish can focus on something for 4 seconds. And that's become our attention span. And attention is our most precious resource. So if we're wasting it doing the entertaining thing, I love entertainment. There's nothing wrong with it in the correct dosage. But like any drug, you know, too much of it is going to impact you negatively. And so if you don't control your own attention, there's lots of people who would be happy to control your attention. And they appear on every YouTube channel, every social media channel. They would love to grab your attention and sell you something. And so it just depends. Do you want to control it or do you want to allow others to control it?
I love this conversation. And it's fascinating. And I think I have enough follow-up questions to last the entire day, but exactly. I want to give people an opportunity to connect with you and learn, like, if this is resonating, if this is, you know, giving you something new to think about, or maybe as we're talking about this, you're recognizing that, hey, wait a minute, there is a pattern to what I'm experiencing. This is happening over and over and over again. And maybe that's that first awareness piece. I want to give people an opportunity to connect with you. And I know you have a great website. You've got lots of resources on there. You want to tell everybody how to connect with you and what can they expect, and maybe even direct them to something that you have on your website. That would be a great next step. And I'll make sure I put all the details here just beneath the video.
Great. My website is liongoodman.com. Very simple, L-I-O-N, Goodman. And there's my free ebooks are there. There's a great ebook called Clear Your Beliefs. And it has an exercise inside of it called Belief Self-Diagnosis. And it's a way to look at your beliefs, to excavate them from the subconscious mind. It's very easy, simple, and you get this long list of beliefs that you probably didn't know you had. That's a really good first step for anyone that's on this path that wants to examine their own beliefs and change them. So that's called Clear Your Beliefs. It's under the resources. My coaching, there's a tab for about my coaching and lots of information there. So enjoy yourself. And there's also a way to reach out to me on that website, liongoodman.com.
Fantastic. Well, if you're watching this on video, I put all the details and links right here. If you're listening to this on an audio podcast, just open up your phone and whatever player you're using, and all of the show notes have Lion's information there as well. And the ebook sounds amazing, like a great next step and that self-diagnosis exercise of identifying some of those beliefs. It sounds like a great next step, and I highly encourage everybody to go ahead and do that. So Lion, I want to thank you very much for this conversation and connecting the dots here between, you know, what some of us are experiencing. I mean, we all in the coaching community, we all want to, you know, help people live happier, more fulfilling lives, or at least that's how I describe it for myself. And, you know, along the way, there's these challenges, and some of them are real tactical things, but so many of them, especially when we just, oh, not this again. It's like, yeah, there's this pattern. But I want to thank you for shining some light on that here today.
Thank you, Chuck. I wish we did have a couple more hours. You're a great host, and I appreciated all the questions. So I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Maybe we'll have to plan a full-day workshop, and then we can really dive deep on it.
Excellent.
So, yeah, there we go. We're already coming up with collaboration opportunities. So, Lion, thank you. And to our audience, thank you as well. If you're listening to me right now, I believe that this topic resonated with you. And I would like this time not to just be time, but something that could really make a difference for you. And so perhaps go and check out Lion's website, go get the ebook, do the exercise. That sounds like a great next step. And in terms of your journey to make a big impact, I want you to know that the size of the impact that you want to make is possible to whatever degree that you want it to be. And you know, you might be just one collaboration away, or a tool or a strategy away from a breakthrough. And perhaps that's what we talked about today. Maybe this is your next step. So go ahead and do that. Remember, the only way to fail is to quit. So keep moving forward, and we will see you on the next one. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Awesome. This episode is brought to you by the Collaborators Toolkit. If you're looking for better ways to grow and scale your business through collaborations and strategic partnerships, our free Collaborators Toolkit contains the best resources from our workshops, as well as contributions from our guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday business challenges and to access highly effective ideas that can grow your business exponentially. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and our gift to you for being a valued member of our community and a subscriber to our show. You can get free instant access to the Collaborators Toolkit today by visiting our website at www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. That address again is www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. Register today, and I'll see you on the inside.